everybody. How y'all doing after that worship right there? Come on, somebody. Come on, I think you're doing a little better than that. Come on now. Wow. Woo. Praise God. Hey, if I haven't introduced myself to you personally, I'm Pastor Rick, lead pastor here at Bridge City Church, and just so amped that you're with us here. The big picture, we've been taking a look at the big picture of God, and today we get the opportunity to take a look at eternity. Eternity. What is the big picture of God when it comes to eternity? The fact is that most of us in this room right now, we're living for about 70, 80, how many of y'all believe in God for 90 years? How many of y'all, when you were younger, 80 seemed old? But now that you're a little older, that seems young? Yeah, see, most of us are living with a 70 to 80 year thought process. When in reality, as believers in Christ, how many believers in Jesus do we have here today? How many believers? See, when you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we get the joy of not just living for this life, but for living for the life that will come. We're living for eternity. So what does it mean to have an eternity-driven life? And what does it really mean to have the big picture of God in eternity for us here? I liken it to this. I've had the opportunity to officiate a lot of weddings over the last, you know, several decades. And I've seen a lot of people very, very fixated, and the whole purpose of them getting married is the wedding. And I've seen a lot of people get fixated on the marriage. And as Christians, a lot of us, we receive Jesus Christ, we say yes to God, and we get fixated on, well, I'm accepted to heaven, that's as good as it gets, rather than living for the marriage that comes after. And when we're believers in Christ, we are fixated on eternity. That means we're really amped about what's going to happen after we part from this life right here. And most of us, even most Christians, have a fear about eternity. They have a fear about judgment, because the moment you say judgment, the word that most of us pops into our mind is condemnation. Oh, judgment, condemnation. That's why it's really common in our society right now. It's like, don't judge me. Has anybody told you that? Like, hey, I believe this, don't judge me. Okay, it's like, listen, it's not about me judging you. How about what does God think? I think that's the bigger question, right? What does God believe here? So in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. So there is a judgment to come. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the reason we're doing all of this, one of the reasons we're doing church, one of the main responsibilities of myself and Pastor John and the other leaders here, is we're preparing you for eternity. No, I thought you'd get excited about that. No, we're preparing you for the moment you're going to enter eternity and spend forever, the perpetual forever, with God our Father. At least that's our prayer and hope, that you're going to spend it there. You see, because Romans chapter 10 says, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? How about saved from eternal damnation, but also you get saved from you? How many of y'all know you need saved from you? Because how many of y'all know that there's a lot of destruction inside of you? Right? So we not only get saved from eternal punishment, but we get saved from ourselves, so we get to have eternal life in the here and now. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. I'm going to give you a lot of verses here today. We're going to jump right into the big picture. So whether we are at home or away, that doesn't mean if you're playing in Pittsburgh at home or in Ireland away, okay? That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about whether you're here in this body or you're in the one to come here. We make it our aim to please Him. So listen, I'm here in heaven. My aim is to please Him. And this is why, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil here. This is not talking about salvation. This is the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ for believers in Christ. This means we are going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for our lives, whether what we did was good or evil, whether it stands up for eternity or whether it doesn't. See, there is a, to get into heaven, you have to transfer your trust off of you. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes transfers their trust off of themselves on to Jesus Christ in what he has done for the forgiveness of sin, because we have all sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? For all you grandparents out there, that means your grandkids, that's them too. Some of you will get that someday. Yeah, they need a savior and you're not it. Maybe some of you parents need that one too. Yeah. So when you transfer your trust off of yourself, when you believe in him and you say, Jesus, lead my life, you become a follower of Jesus Christ. And then there's the bema seat, going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That was an elevated platform when runners would finish the finish line. They would stand and they would judge the runners how well they ran. So what the Apostle Paul was communicating there, when we cross over from this life into the next, we finished this part of the race, but there's going to be a judgment according to what we did with our lives. And there's going to be a judgment whether how many opportunities you had. That's why we're helping you, you know, prepare for eternity, to use all the opportunities in your life to please God, because we make it our aim to please him here. And so they finish their race and they judge what position they came into. This is super cool. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are rewards in heaven. Now, for those of us that didn't do well in school, the thought of a reward ceremony wasn't that exciting. Okay? It was a time too for those smart kids to show off. But the reward ceremony in heaven is going to be what we did and did not do with the opportunities we had. So how do we live then? Now, why are we speaking about this? I don't know if you know this or not. 10 out of 10 people still die. I know that's like, I want you to know this. And most of the time, the only time we think about death is at a funeral. That's why we're also solemn, we're also like gloom, and we're like, and we're all thinking about death. That's the only time we do it. But when we think about eternity all through our lives, it leads us and guides us. So let's take a little look here at God and eternity. Are you ready here? Colossians chapter 1:15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation, for through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him, big word, circle four. It was created for God here, big deal, okay? And he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Now, this is like God has a big picture and a big plan. In Ecclesiastes, it says that God has put eternity in our hearts, but the scope of it's hard to understand. Because that verse, so the scope of it from beginning to end is hard to understand. But that verses that I read in Colossians are hard to understand. But God wants to give us a big picture to base our lives on here. In New York City, there is an atlas. It's Greek mythology there. And that is on the right-hand side there. He was condemned to hold the whole world, the condemnation of the world in him. And unfortunately, this is a picture right here of most of our lives. We're trying to bear the whole world on our shoulders. Interesting. It's right at the Rockefeller Center. And on three sides of this, it's investment, which represents a lot of the worldly wealth. It represents a lot of wealth. A lot of money is represented there. And I, listen, this is a spoiler alert for when you get to heaven, but listen, all the money in the world ain't going to get you to heaven, and that's what a lot of money feels like. See, a lot of people think that if I only had more money, all my problems would go away. And I'm just going to tell you, you got more problems. Okay? It's heavy. It's weighing down. But across the street from this is the St. Patrick's Cathedral. And if you were to go in the cathedral, past what we would consider the altar there, behind the altar, there's a baby Jesus holding the whole world in his hands. So you can either go through life like this or let Jesus. He got the whole world. Yeah, you know the song. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Come on. See, Jesus got it all. And that's what we were saying in Colossians there. See, you can. This is the condemnation of the world, the judgment. This is man trying to hold it all, and this is Jesus holding it all. So rather than me hold it all, I'm going to place my life into Jesus' hands and let him hold me. Wasn't that a better way to live? See, this is eternity. This is a concept of eternity in our hearts here. This is what we're doing here. So there's two realities. See, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, it's a free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Okay? So there's wages of sin. Sin brings a wage. You earned it. We deserved death, which is separation. And that's why we're sad when somebody dies, because we're separated from them in this life, okay? But the free gift of God, the free gift of Jesus, you cannot earn that gift. You don't deserve that gift. But listen, it's a free gift that he gives us when we receive it, and we become believers in him, John 3:16. Believers, we will not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. And actually, that word eternal life, if you really look at the breakdown of it, that's not only talking about the perpetual life that we'll have after we die. That actually has a present tense to it. There's a present tense. See, I don't know about you, but I'm experiencing eternity. I'm experiencing eternal life now because he's placed eternity in my heart, and I don't get the full scope of it now, but that's why I want the big picture of God to put it all together for me. And I am in his hands. I'm not trying to put him in mine so I can create him in my image. I want to be created in God's image. Big difference here. So the wages of sin is death. But the free gift, we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, but it's a gift, awesome gift. Let's look at another reality here, Matthew 25. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. So he's talking about the end here. He's going to separate here sheep and goats. Just a hint, you want to be a sheep. Okay, just a thought. Okay. But in verse 46, and he separates them, and the ones on his left, they will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. There's two things here: eternal punishment, eternal life. Isn't it interesting that there's eternal punishment and eternal life separated here? This is a reality that we need to remember, that getting into heaven is not the goal, no more than having a wedding is the goal. Did you make that connection there? So you got to make that connection. See, no. It's eternal to something, punishment or life. And that's what he separates here. Listen, when you believe heaven and hell are real places, it will change everything about your life. I believe in a real heaven and a real hell. And when you really believe that, it changes your life. I'm not just waiting to get to heaven to figure it out. No, the Bible has given us clear direction on this. So how can we live here? Okay? They're not just ideas, they're destinations. Which destination are you going to today? No, that's a real question. What are we living for? Are we living for the life here? Are we living for the life to come? Eternal life with him. Okay, let's look at some things here about hell. Let's look at hell here. It's referred to a place, it's pronounced two different ways. A lot of people, and it's like North Braddock or North Braddock. Gehenna, Gehenna. I mean, you actually, there's a lot of different translations of it there. But when Jesus said he referred to hell as this place, it was a real place that he was referring to. It was a place right outside Jerusalem, a very key city in biblical times. And it was basically a garbage dump that was burning and burning and burning. Actually, they would take criminals there and burn them there. So there was flesh. There was animals, they would take them there to be burned. There was basically a garbage dump that was always smoldering and on fire. So when Jesus referred to hell, it wasn't just this mystical thing. It was, no, they had an idea when he referred to this, what he was talking about was a nasty garbage dump. It was a nasty place of burning. You could smell, it was like, oh, something about that. So Jesus was trying to give them an illustration about what hell was like, okay? It was a real place. And it was a place of unquenchable fire and torment. When we see Jesus referring to this, I'm just giving you a snapshot here, in a place of eternal separation, a place of outer darkness. I don't know about you. Listen, I didn't like darkness as a kid, and I still don't like darkness. How about you? Yeah, I don't like places of darkness. I don't like outer darkness, sounds like not a good thing to me. But it was a place of outer darkness, a place of torment, a place of eternal fire. It's referred to as a lake of fire in Revelation here. It was a prison of suffering. See, when you really believe this, there's no such thing as, wow, that was a hell of a game. That was a hell of a steak. That was a hell of a movie. We use that terminology. It was a hell of a this and a hell of a that. When you get a picture of hell, you're no longer going to use that. You're no longer going to use that because it would be something that you would no longer just refer to so flippantly as that. Because hell is a real place of torment, of fire, of prison, of suffering, of all of these things. And that's why we're so emphatic. And when we get to whether Pastor John is preaching or if I do, we get to the end of our message, which I will do today. And we'll spend roughly about 3 minutes, maybe four. And we have the most important thing that ever happens. And that's why we ask all of believers and everybody in our buildings, wherever we're meeting, to stop everything. Because we want to invite people into a relationship with God the Father. Because this is a very serious thing. Because we're trying to make heaven bigger and hell smaller. We're trying to prevent you from going to a place that has eternal torment. It's horrible. And when you get a picture about this, it's no longer a joke. It's serious. When you get a picture of being in that place of suffering and you can't get out, I'm telling you, it'll mess you up. And that's why when we get to that place where we invite you into that relationship of a place of repentance from sin and a place of relationship with God, that's one of the most serious things we could ever do. And that's why we ask everybody to stop and everybody to take it serious. And us as believers and have faith in Christ, we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. We don't have to wonder. For these things were written that you may know you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13, one of the first verses I memorized as a believer in Christ, that I could know that I know that Jesus Christ has forgiven me and that I am now a follower of him and I belong to him. That is so, so awesome and so cool and so important to know here. Does God send people people to hell? The answer is no, they volunteer to go there. And there's people that are on their way there that don't know they're on their way to somewhere. And they need us to live it. They need us to tell them. They need us to communicate it. I get this question a lot. Well, if God's so loving, why does he send people to hell? And I tell people the same thing all the time. I say, people volunteer. They hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, and they make a decision to reject it. They make a decision that I don't want that. And that decision has consequences that go on forever and ever. And that's why we're pretty emphatic and pretty serious about the gospel message. This isn't just so we can have a better Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday of the week. This is so we can have a better eternity. That's what's at stake. And this morning, all the people serving in the back, in the production, the worship team, and kids outside, inside, everywhere they're serving, you know what's at stake? Eternity is at stake. And so when we invite you into Bridge City 101 to become an active and growing part of the church and to discover your gift and see how you can make a difference, we're asking you to make a difference in eternity. That's what we're asking you for. When Pastor John gets up here in a few minutes and he gives us an opportunity to give and recognize our giving to God, what he's asking us to do is make an investment into eternity. We don't think of it that way. We think of our lack. We think of where we are here. Why did God create hell? God created hell for the devil and the demons. He didn't create it for people, but because man has a free will, he can either accept or reject the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it was not created for people. It was created for the devil and the demons here. That's why he created it. But we don't have to have fear of it. Because love, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Perfect love cast out fear. Perfect love cast out fear. We don't have to fear it. Man, this is good, good news. What, how many of y'all think that? Come on. See, this is the best news. We got the best news on the planet. As a matter of fact, the church, this is why we're all at church. This is why we believe in church. This is why we want to do church here. Because we believe that the church is the only organization on the planet that distinctly their purpose and mission is to prevent people from an eternal damnation, eternal condemnation, an eternal torment. That's why we invest in it. Because we believe in an eternity that really, really matters. And there's a lot at stake here. So let's now look at heaven. Heaven is a word. It's found 276 times in the New Testament here. Now let's take contrast heaven. If you are a believer in Christ, we're going to go to heaven. Heaven is a real destination here where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more calories. No more gluten-free, no more nut allergies. Are you with me? No more keto, no more Atkins. Come on, somebody. Yeah, no more suffering, no more. It's a place of God's perfect presence. When we were worshiping and singing earlier as the worship team led us, I don't know about you, but the more I worshiped, the more I just had peace come upon my heart. Did anybody else with me there? Did anybody else sense that peace? I did. You know why? We were remembering something was tangible to us and something in our hearts was uniting with spiritually with God, and it brought a peace in our hearts that can only come from the presence of God. Does that mean all your problems went away and that you're not going to have any problems the rest of the day? No, but it gave us peace right here and now, the presence of God. But when we get to heaven, there won't be all those problems. There won't be divisions and deceit and destruction. Wow. so cool. We're going to have new bodies. How many of you are looking forward to new bodies that don't decay? Right? No more aches and pains. No more Aleve, Tylenol. Come on. Yeah. No more you got to worry about salt intake. Yeah. Come on. I'm looking forward to the buffet. I like those rewards. But it's going to be a glory beyond comparison. That's what we read in Colossians. He created it all. It's a glory that's beyond what we can ever imagine. Think about this. The streets are made of gold. Like what man down here is trying to accumulate, and it's so valuable, and all these things. It's going to be made of gold. Can you imagine it? I mean, if you think Disney World's special, no, it's going to be so much better, but it's a place of joyful fellowship. It's a place that we get to connect on a level that we've never had before, because we together will experience the glory and honor of God in joyful worship and fellowship. See, this is beyond what most of us can think, because we think, oh my goodness, is it just going to be a worship service for all eternity? Well, but there's so much more to heaven, and I can't give you a picture of everything right now, but it's so much bigger than that. There's ruling and reigning with God, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, and I don't have time today to get into it. I'm just trying to give you a snapshot of heaven according to the verses that we gave you there. There's a prison of suffering or joyful fellowship. Are you with me? Okay. Which one? Which one do we want here? Okay, now why am I telling you all this? Because in Hebrews chapter 6, let me try to segue here. Therefore, let us leave the elementary things of God. In Hebrews chapter 6, let's leave behind the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. So let us leave, the writer was saying, let us leave the elementary things like the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. What the writer is saying here is that when you understand eternity, it's like elementary school. How many of y'all remember elementary school? In elementary school, you learn all the basics by which you build everything in junior and senior high, and then extended education. Elementary school, you learn basically everything you need to know in elementary school. And for those of you that are in junior and senior high, that doesn't mean you don't have to go to school anymore. It's elementary. We build our lives on the elementary teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Judgment, eternal judgment, the resurrection of the dead. This is how I now build my life on him. So when I have the mindset of eternity here, there's a mindset. We go from just mere knowledge of it, and we understand it differently. Let me just try to say it like this here. In our day and age, there's a lot of infatuation amongst Christians with the book of Revelation. And I'm using the word infatuation. I'm infatuated with the future, with the end times. And people ask, even that aren't Christians, all the time, are we in the end times? I don't know, but we need to get ready. Because I've been a Christian for over 4 decades, and I've been being told he's coming back any day now. But what I do know this, I need to get ready and prepare my life like he's coming back today. Okay? But for anybody who studies the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, and doesn't have a burning desire to share Jesus Christ with everybody they know, blows my mind. Because to understand the end times and not want everybody to receive Jesus Christ and have a life with him of freedom, freedom from captivity, I don't know what book you're studying. The book is not meant to be, not only meant to be an intellectual pursuit, but something that changes our lives for the here and now. So we burn with a passion to be driven by eternity. I want to be driven by eternity. So what does that mean to be driven by eternity? Let me give you a couple things now. So what do I do now based on eternity, the big picture of God? I make it my aim to please him. My aim in my life is to please him, to please God. What does he say? What does the word of God say? How do I activate my faith to please him? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So therefore, I want to please him, which is going to require faith. So when Pastor John and your small group leader and your connection group leader and other leaders challenge your faith, it's so that we can be pleasing to God. We're preparing you for heaven. So I make it my aim because I know I'm going to give an account to my life, to God. I make it my aim to please him. What does God want in this situation? Do you know that most problems we're having on a day-by-day basis, if we would just stop and say, what would please God right here? You know, we would, 9 times out of 10, it would be solved like that. This person gets you upset. This person says something. This person does this. That person does this. You see something on TV. What would please God right now? What would my aim be if I were to please him? Solves it right there. That's an eternal mindset. Next, I want to hear red letters from Jesus in Matthew 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to live with eternity that I'm going to stand before God and give an account for my life. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So if I want to hear that, then I need to be faithful, full of faith, being consistent, being courageous, and full of faith. So how do I live and be driven by eternity? I'm going to live for those words, good and faithful servant. I'm going to live with my aim to please God. This next one, we use this terminology all the time. I want to make heaven bigger and hell smaller. I want everybody, all the whosoevers, to call on the name of the Lord so that they shall be saved. Wow. What's the point? On your seats right now, there's an invitation. What's the point? On your seat. It's a new series we're going to start in 2 weeks, actually. In 2 weeks, I want you to invite everybody you know to What's the Point. First message, what's the point of faith? What's the point of prayer? What's the point of church? What's the point of forgiveness? What's the point of marriage? What's the point of family? What's the point of worship? What's the point? We're going to help you determine what's the point. So you're going to take this with you, take this invitation with you, invite somebody you know to come and figure out what's the point together. Would you do that? Is there somebody you know you can invite and experience God? Then the last one is I want the full reward of Jesus Christ. The full reward. So we make it our aim to please him. I'm going to make heaven bigger. Yeah, I'm going to live for good, well done, good and faithful servant. And the last one of those four things, an eternity-driven life, is that I want the full reward. If there's a full reward, that means there's a partial reward. Which reward are you going for? Could you stand to your feet with me right now? Now, how many of you right now, eternity, the concept of eternity, is on your mind in a different way right now? Different way. Anybody? Yeah. Different way, just thinking about different. See, but what do we do with this? I live an eternity-driven life. In my life right now, there's a lot of decisions that I'm making. Big decisions. And I keep asking one question. When I stand before God, could I look Jesus in the eyes and live with a decision that I made? I'm asking that question a lot lately. Whatever I decide, and I'm making really, really big decisions, and whether the decisions, but they feel small or large, ask the question, when you look Jesus in the eyes, could you give him the answer? My aim was to please you. I want to hear well done, good and faithful. Did it help make heaven bigger? And I want the full reward. That will change everything about your life. So, Lord, I pray for every person right now in this room, Lord God. All of us, Lord God, they're just thinking about eternity different, Lord. I pray, Father, that you're going to change our concept of the big picture of Christ when it comes to heaven and hell, Lord God. Change our lives. There's a great group of people here, Father, and they are, Lord God, help them live for you. Help them live for you in a really, really awesome way that pleases you, Father. Help us as a church prepare as many people as possible for eternity so that they could get the full reward of Christ. The full reward, God. Now, if you're here today and you don't have a day, a moment, or time, when you became a follower of Jesus Christ, when you became a believer, not just an acceptor, he's up there, but a believer in Jesus Christ. That means you transferred your trust off of you. You said, Jesus, only based on what you have done on the cross, I repent, I change, I've missed a mark in my life. Forgive me of my sin. I need saved from sin, but saved from myself and saved from my bad decisions. Lord, save me. And now lead me into my future that I too could have a good reward. If you don't have a day, a moment, or time when you did that, there's a good chance you've never done that. And we want to offer you today, September 28th, 2025, as your day. So if that's you right now, I want you to do something really joyful, but yet really bold and really cool. Just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me today. I want today to be my day. Is there anybody here today in this moment that just says, I want to experience heaven forever. I want to experience heaven. I don't have that assurance. Anybody here? Anybody here? Thank you, Jesus. Just have to ask. Thank you, God. Lord God, I pray that next week, this place, and the week after, and during this whole next series, that you do a great work in our lives, Lord, and you move us, Lord God, that we are going to be overwhelmed with people responding to the gospel. That we're going to be overwhelmed with people responding to the gospel, Lord. Lord God, help us live for eternity. Thanks, God, for providing it. In the name of Jesus, amen.